Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. What about now? What about now? How about now? This is a refrain. It is a cultural value. We live in a world of now. And, you know, when it comes to saving for retirement, how uninteresting is that? That is, for many of us, far, far away in time. We don't really want to think about it. And certainly there is a lot of confusion about the best way to start. So we're going to talk about this culture of now and how to kind of work around that. Our guest is Myron Genick. He is the CEO and co-founder of Evermore Capital, which is a Canadian asset management company. And he's here now to talk about now. Hi, Myron.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me on.
What is the culture of now in your words? How would you articulate this and how does it relate to saving for retirement?
That's a really complicated question. I think for many people, the answer can be different. So when I think of the culture of now, I think of, you know, we're living in this state of immediacy. We're just kind of going through the motions. We're going through our lives. There's a lot of stuff being thrown at us in the moment, and we're just kind of taking it and winging it. And it's hard to step back and to think about, okay, you know, in the greater context of my life, where am I? Where am I going to go? You get asked that question in job interviews. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I really don't think we ask that question of ourselves often enough, not just in terms of career, but in terms of anything. What kind of person do we want to be in 5 or 10 years? You know, what kinds of things do we want to have experienced and so on? So I just think it's slowing down will help us think about the culture of later or future.
And there is a huge benefit to the now. If you are a yogi, if you are a meditation teacher, because then you're focusing the energy into the present and we are thinking about the now, we're doing mantras to the now. Not so good if you're you also believe that your future self is going to need groceries at some point. Not super helpful if your present self spends all the money and the future self gets nothing. What are the biggest pitfalls do you think exist when it comes to culture of now and saving for retirement?
So I'm not going to throw any shade on mindfulness. I think it's definitely has its place and it is important to focus on the now and to, you know, think about your breath.
Of course it is. You thought I was throwing shade there? Come on.
Well, yeah, you need to do both, I think, right? So you need to think now is important and, you know, being mindful of the present is really important. Living in the moment is crucial, but so is planning ahead. And so I really think that there are four things that are working against us that are maybe a little bit outside of our control, but if we recognize what they are, then maybe we can overcome them. So the obstacles are, one is psychological. Something like retirement can seem so far away. It's a completely different stage of life, especially if you're in your 20s or 30s. Like, you can't picture that, what it's going to look like when you're retired. So that's number one, is just knowing that it's a psychological thing. Number two is it's intimidating. Thinking about, you know, something like how to invest for retirement, especially if you're not good with figures or if you think you're not good with figures. But I mean, the great thing is you don't need to be a mathlete to be a successful investor. So, but it can be intimidating to get started. Number three, procrastination. I mean, who wants to think about saving and investing when it's, you know, we're getting out of COVID. We don't want to get back to our, you know, pre-COVID lives. And number four is, you know, frankly, inflation is making it difficult. And so the money coming in isn't keeping up with the money going out. But just being aware of the psychological impact of the distance of retirement, getting over the intimidation, getting over the procrastination, and being mindful of inflation. I think recognizing those things can help people start moving closer to investing for retirement.
Now, we're having this broad conversation about the culture of now, but it also connects to a product question. It's a product that you're very, very familiar with. You're not the only one that has this kind of product, but I think it's a good door into talking about target date funds and first off, what they are and how they work.
Sure. So a target date fund is like a balanced fund. So a balanced fund holds a mix or has exposure to a mix of stocks and bonds. So when you're younger, you generally should and can have more exposure to stocks. Stocks are a bit riskier, but they pay off in the long run better than bonds. And because you have such a long time horizon, it's okay for you to be more invested in stocks. As you age and enter retirement and then throughout retirement, you should have a greater allocation to bonds. And so how to change your portfolio from holding more stocks to holding more bonds. So that's what a target date fund does. It's a balanced fund, which starts off with a very high allocation to stocks. And over time, that decreases and the allocation to bonds increases. So it's a true all-in-one product that people can buy, that they can invest in, so that the risk tolerance that they have and the risk appropriateness of the product changes as the investor ages.
Right. And I think the big benefit for people who are into it is they don't have to do anything. Like,
oh yeah,
with you, because you can have an exchange traded fund that is all equity. You can have an exchange traded fund that is all fixed income, but you need to rebalance and think about the duration between the present and the time in which you need that money and adjust the asset allocation accordingly.
Yeah. Target date funds are really easy. I mean, the only question that they ask of you is, when do you expect to retire? So for me, that might be 2044. So then, okay, I'll buy the 2045 target date fund. And that's it. I like, again, you don't need to be a mathlete. You just need to know when do you expect to retire? So it makes it really, really simple for, you know, people to figure out how to invest for the retirement.
What is the asset allocation at that end point?
So for the Evermore retirement ETFs, the glide path, which is the trajectory or, you know, how the allocation changes over time for our products at the moment, that ends 5 years after the target year. So the target year refers to when somebody expects to retire. 5 years after that, the final allocation is 45% bonds and 55% stocks.
Right. So not zero equity, but not 90% equity.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, to come up with this, we ran a number of, you know, they're called Monte Carlo simulations, but basically computer simulations that use a variety of investor inputs and market inputs. And we kept changing the assumptions and we ran dozens of different simulations where we looked at like literally about 12,000 different possible glide paths. And the one that we landed on worked the best for most under most conditions.
Now, what is great about a product like yours is it's super, super simple. It's super, super simple. But there are circumstances, I can imagine, in which there are other things that you would factor into your equation. So, for example, you've got a pension. So for someone who has a pension, they're going to maybe augment that with an RRSP or a TFSA in which they want to save money for the retirement, but they have much, much higher risk tolerance because they have the certainty of their pension. How do you weave a circumstance like that in to a target date fund? Or would you say, listen, you can be in 100% equity until the day you die because it is certain that you're going to have that base level of income?
Yeah. So those are pretty interesting questions. So when it comes to the pension, usually what is that the amount that you contribute to your pension reduces the amount that you're able to put into your RSP. So to the extent that you're able to top off your RSP with anything else after, you know, your defined benefit or defined contribution contributions have been made, then, you know, you can put that in RSP, put that into a target date fund. And if that amount is little because you've got a great pension, well, then great. But for, you know, most Canadians, they do have a lot of RSP room left over, or, you know, they might not have a pension. So for them, there's that. Of course, there's other goals other than retirement as well. So if you're in a position where, you know, you've got a great pension, and you know, you don't need to worry about that, then that's terrific. And you can focus on other goals. To your other question about whether you should be 100% equities at the end. Well, if you're financially well off that you have that kind of asset base, then presumably, you know, if you have your retirement taken care of, then you have other goals that you can be investing in, you know, possibly intergenerational wealth or philanthropy or endowments and things like that. And those goals should be invested according to the best way to achieve those goals.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. Very briefly before we go, what's the framework in terms of fees? So just for our listeners, the average Canadian mutual fund, Canadian Equity Mutual Fund is call it 2.3%. If you're with a robo-advisor, maybe your total cost is about 0.6%. What, if we try and keep apples to apples here, what would a target date fund run in terms of MER?
Sure. So a target date mutual fund, we looked at numbers from Morningstar and we see that they average at about 2.05%. For our funds, our management fee is about 0.35%. When you factor in other fund expenses, you get an MER of, we expect it'll be about 0.45%. And then of course, there are the costs of the underlying funds themselves, which are about 0.09%. So you're looking at an all-in total cost of less than 0.55%. And yeah.
Interesting. Myron, thank you for joining us today.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Bruce.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Myron Genick is the CEO and co-founder of Evermore Capital. And our conversation broadly is around this idea of, you know, the present you and future you and the culture of now and how we navigate that from a savings perspective. But I was also glad we were able to talk a bit more about target date funds, because there's something that can be a great, low cost, diversified fit for lots of different people.